Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year this year. He's going to be in the running. The Edge Combs and the Cooper Flags probably going to be out ahead. But it does look like they have another all-rookie first-team guy. And they've had a bunch of those. I think it's seven in franchise history that Michael Wallace was he had the list for me. I think it was seven they've had. This looks like another one. What'd you have, two last year with Jalen Wells and Edie? And so Coward looks like that. And, yes, now, you know, I'm not expecting it, to your point. Yeah. He has to become Desmond Bane. But I'm certainly hopeful now that he can be a piece for you in a different way. Remember, Desmond was one side of the floor. God bless him. He added to his game and everything else. He was good offensively, but he was a minus defensively. Cedric can be a plus on both ends.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you be excited about, you know, what could possibly be for Cedric Coward? Hell, just get him in the starting lineup tonight. You're going to pull these guys after 4 minutes anyway, Isolo. Go ahead and get him in to combat these slow starts so you're not down. Maybe you won't be down 12 or 13 after the first quarter. Do not give this dead Dallas team right now life.
Right.
By just not being on the right page tonight or not making simple adjustments. Let's get those done. Let's play with some joy. Hopefully Grizzlies will get back or at least get off this schneid tonight with a win against Dallas. Again, pregame will start right here on 929 FM ESPN at 6:30. The great Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. We've got a rundown to do. We're going to talk about South Florida, what it did to UTSA last night. Alex Golish had a few words about Jeff Traylor, who seems to be drawing the ire of just about every coach in the American. You know, it wasn't too long ago he was mad at Sumrall, who he beat down at the Alamo Dome, for saying, the Tulane coach, who Memphis is about to see, for saying that UTSA pumps crowd noise in there. He got mad, went off on about that. He had something to say about Alex Golish and his high-dollar roster, and Alex Golish had something to say to him after the presser. So we'll talk about South Florida's win, what it means over UTSA, what they've got left. Frankly, what it means is Memphis better not lose tonight. The pressure remains. We'll do all that in the rundown. You're listening to J&J, 929 FM ESPN. Jennifer Carstensen is a wonderful person. She's got a wonderful business. That business is the Live Love Memphis Group. And they've grown. They've got the Live Love Nash Group and the Live Love DeSoto teams as well over at the real estate agency. And wherever you are, they can likely take care of you. Make the call, 901-625-5200. Looking around right now and see a lot of signs and yards. They've been there for a long time. They're with the wrong group. That's what I've been trying to tell them. I yell it out of my car every time I pass by. Get with Live Love. Should have called Jennifer. She'd have had that thing sold. You wouldn't have to be decreasing the price because she gets it priced right from the get-go. It's what she did for me back in 2018. She's a master at it. Just let her show you. She could teach the master class on it. 901-625-5200 is that number. She can help you on that buying side as well. So good, it could change your life. It literally did that for me. That is no hyperbole. The situation she put me and my wife in, couldn't have asked for better. Especially coming from where we were. Jennifer helped us out of that and then changed our situation forever, and we will forever be grateful to her for it. That's how much I love Jen, and we'll forever sing her praises. 901-625-5200. Whether I'm on the show or not, I'm always talking about Jennifer Carstensen. Go see why. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency every day around this time. Time's ticking down for John Martin, too. He's going to have to get back to work on Monday. 2 more hours of freedom left for him. A little bit less than that now. We do rundown right now. Let's do it. Because for real, he's been down at Disney playing, and he's left us with a pretty tough work week with everything we've had going on with the Grizzlies since last week. My gosh, this thing looks like a, I'll just be honest, we can say it for right now. It's been a dumpster fire of late. Hopefully that changes, of course, tonight against Dallas. And then, you know, Penny Hardaway saying he's super concerned. We know John covers college basketball as well for Field of 68. Got that mess going on. We'll see them tomorrow, get an idea of what they look like. And we got this big Memphis football game. So we've been working.
You know what's interesting for John, because John's missed all the mess this week. Next week, we might be able to ride the ship, and he's going to walk into a situation where it's all sort of all, you know, rosy again. Like when he comes in on Monday, because if you win tonight.
Well, there's no way you're not coming off a loss to OKC, though, right? I mean, yes, maybe Dallas will have stopped the 4-game
Maybe that helps the whole vibes.
To your point, Tiger football could still be rolling.
Yeah.
Having been knocked off Tulane.
Yep. Maybe you see something against San Francisco in the basketball game that you like, and Penny's sandbagging a little bit, like I suggested. Hopefully.
I think he might be on to something.
Yeah, maybe we're sandbagging a little bit, and we go kick their butts on Saturday. And then, you know, maybe you lose to OKC, but you get the win, and the vibes are better in that locker room.
Hopefully they'll be good.
Yeah.
I came come find out, and we're going to get to it, but come find out, the last time the Memphis Tigers football team lost at home, Jeffrey Wright did the research this morning.
Ooh.
Was the last game I went to, 2023 SMU.
Oh, and you're going to be in the building.
Well, and what the crazy thing is, I'm pretty sure it was a blackout that day, too. Seth Hennigan was playing through injury. Jeffrey gave me the score. I couldn't recall it. I remember it because it was one of the few times my dad had come up from Belize. He had two of his grandchildren there. We'd gone. We were pulling for the Tigers and Ryan, and we lost.
Oh.
And that was apparently the last home loss. So, guys, man. Those of you that are listening and thinking, Smith family's the poison here and the bad omen, don't do that to me. Don't put this on the Smith family. Yes, it was the last one. I'll be among you tonight. I'm not bringing loss. I'm there for a win. Ryan is not going to let us down.
Have you already picked out the black gear that you're wearing tonight?
I've got an old Memphis hoodie that I bought, frankly, when I came on here. 2016, I got it around that time, started over here at 929. At that time, it was a very, very brand new hoodie. It's now very old.
Yeah.
What a 9-year-old hoodie. It's the only black Memphis thing that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the hats and stuff, Tiger stuff, it's all blue.
It's blue.
And so since we're going with blackout, I'll pull out the old dusty black Memphis hoodie and probably put on some black jeans. So I'm get the
full effect. Yeah. Oh, get those under your eye black like
the
you're
eye
doing.
Black.
Yeah, the eye black.
Eye black.
For the glare.
I might do the whole face, Brad. I might do the
do
whole
face painting.
The war face.
Warrior.
And put the war marks on there and do the whole thing because I'm all in. I'm fan.
I love it.
I'm all fan tonight. That's how all in I am on this Memphis effort tonight. They're gonna get the best of me. Ed Scott called for it. He wanted the fan in me.
I will say this:
to stand up,
he's persuasive in person, folks. Like you did that interview on Wednesday. Like
he picks his spots. He's very effective
is persuasive
in those spots. Is he not?
Yes, he's very. When you see him in person, and he looks at you with those. He's got that beautifully shaved dome of his beautiful.
Said that, not me.
I mean that in a masculine way, and he's looking at you, and he's like, "We're going to go to war on Friday. It's a blackout."
He did speak to the dormant Tiger fan in me. The Tiger, he had been asleep.
So it's like a glaze. Yeah, it's almost like a magician.
It had been a little bit asleep. And I'll be honest with you, it did. It woke up on South Florida, but he really raised it to a new level with his speech that day. He really did stand up.
For the people who listened on Wednesday, my favorite moment of the interview was he was like, "And I know you have been setting us straight on that." And then there was this correction moment in the interview. I don't know if you remember. It was like, "Let me just, I've been rooting for you. I've been rooting for you, Dr. Scott. I've been rooting for you, but we got to keep it real on the show," you know?
Yeah, I don't think he intended to, but he was talking about the fans, right?
Yes.
And he said, "You guys."
You guys.
And I just wanted to know that while I am.
You did
that,
the separation conversation with him. Yeah.
The guy you're interviewing now is not that guy. Is not the fan. He
that's
is the guy
was.
That's been trained to do this, Dr. Scott.
I'm a trained killer, boss.
And I probably shouldn't have done that because I don't think
it was
he
good.
Meant it that
it
way.
He was cool.
And he took it well. I think he said he appreciated the distinction. Again, he was including.
Thank you for that correction.
What he was saying was all of you need you to stand up. Told you I would call on you. And it's rare when he pushes the calls the bat signal out.
Yeah, he goes all in.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of those times. We were supposed to be starting with Mavs Grizzlies. We'll do that now, 6:30. No, it's been fine, brother. We got, as you said, 3 hours to fill. So we're doing fine here. Everything's
good. It's a lot today. It's a big day.
This ship will be fully afloat when John Martin gets back on Monday. All right, Grizzlies, 4.5-point favorite. And the reason that is, when you've looked the way you've looked in this four-game losing streak, is because Dallas has looked about just as bad. They're 2-6 and coming off of a loss to the Pelicans. Now, here's the problem. It's an NBA Cup game.
Oh, we haven't done
remember
well in those.
Bennett Doyle reminded us yesterday that we have like one win in the Cup. Is it really truly that bad? What we know is that it stinks. It is absolutely sucking. So it may give this defunct Dallas Mavericks team that we won't know on Anthony Davis apparently till game time whether or not he's going. It may give them a lift just because it's a Cup game, and the Cup games have been a weakness for Memphis. I don't know if it's the floor. I don't know what it is. We have struggled in this. Hopefully we're done with any protest shooting. We're done with everybody not being on the same page. If that's what we've been seeing, John Morant is one of his last 17 from three-point range. Jaren Jackson Jr. took one shot in the first half of their loss to Houston. There's a lot wrong with this team. One of the things that is not is Cedric Coward and his effort level. Hopefully, maybe it's even for the two leaders. Just watching, you know, the way Cedric Coward is throwing everything he's got into this thing.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier this week, and maybe it's too much narrative, but maybe that'll remind those guys, you know, Jaren and Ja, about, you know, how lucky they are to be at this point in their careers and where they are, but just to sort of remind them of what they fell in love with, which was just going, man. It wasn't so much about the money as it was, man, proving yourself and everything else. And clearly Cedric Coward has been one of the few joys of this early season. If we're going to stick with that theme of the week and John Morant saying the joy is gone, hopefully he's got it back tonight. We've said at the key points of this, or we know Derek Lively will be out. They have, I boiled it all down, and I will again, I won't read all the way back through it, but Derek Lively, Gafford, and Davis have played together just 5 times in the 43 games that Dallas has played since trading for Anthony Davis. That includes last year's play-in. So they've never had all these guys together. It's been a mess. We know they were starting the season with Kyrie Irving on the injured list, coming back from the offseason surgery. And so we knew point guard might be an issue, but and we've always said, well, you never know on Anthony Davis's health, but they haven't been able to keep Lively or Gafford healthy either. Tonight, at least, they'll have Gafford, we're pretty sure, and they will have P.J. Washington. And they've got a lot of guys that, much like you, are probably like, we got to get out of this slump, especially after an embarrassing loss to the Pelicans, who hadn't been able to beat anybody this season. So urgency level should be, but again, when should lately hasn't necessarily equated to, you know, what we've thought, you know, we would see. And so hopefully there's an urgency level down at FedEx Forum tonight, particularly again with what you've got coming up. OKC is coming in here on Sunday, and those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And frankly have owned you of late. Not just moved past you, but really kind of stepped on you like a cigarette butt and put you out. It'd be nice to see a stand up there, but nobody's expecting it. The point is it's super difficult after this Dallas game. Then you're at New York. It's a 4-game road trip that will be difficult at New York, at Boston, at Cleveland, at San Antonio before you get somewhat of a break when you come back home and play Sacramento. Point is, if you don't end this 4-game losing streak tonight, it could really get lengthened out for a while. And what does that do for joy? What does that do for getting everybody back on the same page? Those are some of the things we'll be watching for tonight. You in particular got anything you'll be looking for? I know you'll be glued to a couple of things, including high school
football. I'll be watching on my phone. We're going to go see some high school football tonight if everything works out. But I'll be most interested in the football game. That's because Jeff does a really good job on Fridays of sort of what's the bigger game. And that's clearly the bigger game, but we'll get to that in a second. As far as the Grizzlies, I was just looking at, you predicted tonight at 3.5, we should cover 3.5, you thinking?
I think this one's 4.5. Football is 3.5.
All right.
Favorite.
So I think
I got us over covering.
I think we will win. We will cover tonight. I'm looking ahead. Take a guess what you think the spread is, early spread, for the Thunder game. They've listed it already in some books.
I'm going to go that the Thunder are a 6.5 point favorite on the road.
Close. 9.5. 9.5.
More. Good Lord. Yeah. They have put you out like a cigarette butt.
Man, when you said put it out like a cigarette butt, that's why I looked it up. I'm like, wonder what the line is so far on that thing.
They lost their first one, right, to Portland the
did
other
they?
Night?
Did they? Okay, yeah, I didn't realize
if I'm
that.
Not, if I'm not, did I, am yep. I making that up? I thought they Portland like, came back from down like 20-something. And keep in mind, these Thunder are still shorthanded and it's still got off to a hot start.
Yeah, 121, 119, you're right.
But that's not to that.
Portland's 5-3?
Frankly, and I gave her grief on this when she did it and they were, I don't know, 1-2 or 2-3, But I said, Trista Crick said, Portland is for real. Remember, she tweeted that.
I remember
that. We all had a good laugh. She
Trista
laughed.
Trista Crick, yeah.
Dude, they. I mean, in terms of effort level and what they can do to you defensively, and freaking Sharp is making plays left and right. The guy she said at some point it's going to be Tracy McGrady. Portland does look kind of for real. I don't know, not for real in a contender way, but for real in that is a winning outfit right now that if you don't come to play, they will get you. Those are guys, you talk about people being on the same page and a want to. Portland's got it. You know, with Chauncey gone, and she mentioned it. It's Splitter. It's Splitter.
Avdija?
Who's very, is that my
Denny
guy?
Denny Avdija? He's blowing out. He's got like 24 a game.
He's playing well, too. But Splitter, Tiago Splitter, I think it is. Yeah. His serious approach, them doubling down. Drew Holiday, some have said, has looked re-energized out there as opposed to sort of twilight of his career, kind of playing it out in Portland. No, that's not what you're getting. And so back to the point, Trista Crick been right,
Jason,
so far on Portland.
What you're not counting for, they're not throwing games anymore.
Well, they're not. Chauncey's not giving up the information and sitting all the guys when they're tanking. Right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
We're no longer throwing the games for the books.
No, we're actually playing for wins, and they've got guys too. You meant Klingon, while he doesn't average a ton of points.
Yeah.
He's another one of those dudes that can block shots, gets up and down the floor. Portland should be excited about what
that was
it has.
A surprise there. Good call.
They're probably still a year away from being a year away, though, in terms of coming up and being a contender. But it is nice to see that young Portland team coming on and Trista Crick to be right. Back to the Grizzlies.
Yep.
This schedule is about to turn up, so win tonight. Pre-game starts right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 6:30. Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. All right, got to do it. Number 3 Memphis women's soccer went down yesterday. Mm-hmm. Penalty kicks to UTSA. Yeah, it was a lower-seeded team, and it was literally the first loss for Memphis this year. After playing as tough a non-conference schedule as anybody in the group of 5 did, Memphis went up 3-1 with just over 5 minutes remaining and gave up 2 goals in the final 5 minutes. That's tough.
That's tough.
I figured some of it might have been when you've got, I figure the pressure mounts when you're the lone unbeaten in the country with every win.
Yeah, they got a bullseye.
Keep that zero. Mm-hmm. To keep that zero in that loss column.
Yep.
And keep in mind, this is still Brooks Monaghan, as good as this team was for him, it's his youngest team in 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
So you just wonder if the pressure got to those young ladies out there last night down in Florida for this game. And then, anybody who's watched conference soccer knows it can get – it doesn't matter what's happened in the regular season, sort of like they tell you in divisional NFL games. You have to kind of throw it out. You're on a neutral field in this case. You're away from Memphis. You're away from home. Mm-hmm. And that's not to give these not to make excuses for these women, because I know they were gutted and thought they, as Brooks said after the game, and thought they should have won the game and put them away. But this is a team that, again, had suffered no cracks whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And here you get one at a tough spot in the semifinals on a neutral against a team that certainly had you marked, because you're the number 3 team in the country. It's their Super Bowl. You're going to get their best effort. Unfortunately that they lost on penalty kicks. The good news is for Memphis, they should still be in the NCAA tournament. I believe last year, lost in the conference tournament, didn't get in, even after a wonderful regular season. And so this year, though, having been number 3 in the country, you figure they're still going to get a bid in the tournament and hopefully still a high seed. Not a number 1 seed, maybe, as I had one time hoped for, and actually a that thought maybe you were stood
sure
to get.
Sure, you were lined up for it.
Stood to get, I think. Yeah. I think, I'm pretty sure Memphis.
Of course.
Some of this, though, has to do with whether or not you can host.
Yeah.
You get women's soccer, it's a different breed in terms of postseason. First round, individual, then you go to a group site for the next rounds. And so I don't think Memphis could have hosted, even if it had been a 1, that second time around. It's got in here because then you've got to have a group. Mm-hmm. And with the construction going on at the stadium, I'm not sure if it could accommodate. My point is, I still think Memphis could have gotten that 1 seed. Now, whether they could have hosted all the way through, I don't think that could have happened either way. Should still be in the NCAA tournament. The important thing is that selection show for women's soccer is on 3 p.m. on Monday. So we will know at 3 p.m. Monday afternoon where, when. Should still be a host spot. I'm hoping that it should be that for Memphis. We'll know for Memphis women's soccer and what's next then. All right, now you got the big one tonight at the bank. Let's talk about what happened last night. South Florida, which you are still in a fight with, even though you beat them, to make this conference title game, may very well be seeing them again in the conference title game. They rolled UTSA last night, and no, it wasn't at the Alamo Dome, where UTSA is 22-0 in American Conference play. This was in Tampa, and they rolled them 55-23. This game was nuts in the sense that the South Florida offense didn't get onto the field until there was 2:07 left in the first quarter. So think about that. Byron Brown, you know, if it's, I'll tell you what, guy that probably, is he the favorite for the the player of the year?
Prolific quarterback.
Numbers would say he should be the favorite for player of the year in the American, but Brendan Lewis beat you head up. And in that game, Brendan Lewis threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this Tiger team goes on to win the regular season, you know, a title, or is the home team at least is the home side in the American Conference Championship game, how could you not give it to Brendan Lewis?
I think with Brendan, his weaponry is a little more stacked, whereas Byron is sort of a one-man show, you know. So
I don't know about that. They have the, according to The Athletic, they have the highest paid roster.
Oh, yeah.
In the American.
Well, that was the big thing afterwards. Yeah, that was a big talker.
And we're gonna get to that. They didn't get on the field till 2:07 was left in the first quarter, and they were already leading 14-3 because their defense scored twice. I think UTSA got a field goal on another, and then there was another turnover of some fashion. Crazy thing. You don't typically see it where an offense isn't coming on until 2:07, and they're already in control of the game. They went on to control it even more. Brown was awesome. He was 14-15 for 239, two touchdowns. Also rushed for seemingly what he does every week for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Had 109 yards on 9 carries. He's a stud. Mm-hmm. If not for Brendan Lewis, he would easily be, and Memphis's win over South Florida, he would easily be the conference player of the year based on the stats. I've heard some saying, man, they'd like to see him in the NFL. I don't know about, you know, if we will. I think he's got one more year of eligibility at South Florida. So whether or not he even goes in the draft, we'll see. But I don't know, man. I don't know if they can give it to him if Brendan Lewis goes on and finishes the season he's had, because he's not just been a runner. And while he hasn't run for as many yards as Byron Brown, or probably hadn't thrown for nearly as many either, dude, you're the best player on the best team. And the way I
usually – That's a good point.
Yeah. Usually the way these go down, especially in the American, is that's who gets rewarded, even if the guy from the from the other team that didn't win the conference had a little bit better stats. I'm hopeful
Brendan
that's
Lewis,
the way it goes.
He's the story of the year for that team. I mean, Ryan picked him. They paid him. They brought him in. He had fifth year of eligibility. Like, that dude, I mean, he'd be great. He'd be a good pick for it.
Absolutely. It's going to come down to those two.
Win out. Keep winning, dude.
Retzloff, I don't think, can win it. Tulane's been playing two quarterbacks all year long.
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to those two guys, I would think. Again, last night, South Florida, the key is they get the win, and they move to 4-1 in the conference race. They've got at Navy, at UAB versus Rice next. Keep in mind, when they play Navy, that'll be after Navy's having played at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance Navy gets beat up even more in that game. Yeah, North Texas, remember, handed Navy its first loss. Now they're going to Notre Dame before they play South Florida. Then Navy's got to come to you. They play Army to wrap up the season, but that's that's not at a conference game, as we know. But the point is that Navy at 5-1, which got off to the 5-0 start, I'm already putting out of the race, because you've still got to get beat up against Notre Dame, and then you've got to play South Florida at home and come to Memphis. So they're going to have more than just the one loss. It goes back to South Florida, though. If we're giving Navy a loss to, if we're giving Navy that loss to South Florida, that puts South Florida Navy at UAB Rice. That's 7-1. You know, likely going to be the same record as you, so long as you take care of business and you've got the win over them. The problem is North Texas. That's why you can't lose, because they're 4-1 right now too. They're at UAB, at Rice versus Temple.
That's
like 7-1.
Yeah, they're going to go undefeated at the rest of the season.
North Texas's only loss is to South Florida.
Yep.
And so those to me are the three teams now. I think if you look over at ESPN, those are the three that are mentioned as having the best chance to win the American, be the Group of Five representative. Because I think odds say Navy's out of this thing already, even with that just because of that first loss, with the road they've still got to hoe. Back to this other thing you were talking about. Alex Golish, after the win over UTSA, had a few choice words. Remember, he thought he had some similar choice words for Memphis fans who booed what he said.
Oh, the injury
guys
thing?
Who were seriously injured. Yeah. My point, he's had something to say both after losses and wins now.
Always.
He had something to say about Jeff Traylor remarking, and I'd gone back and looked. Jeff Traylor had talked about how South Florida had the most money in the conference and basically a roster that he couldn't compete with going into that game. And Golish, I guess, took it the wrong way. I don't know that he needed. While Traylor has, in some cases, gotten a little to the point where, you could take a little offensive. I didn't think what he said was necessarily offensive. Golish obviously did, and had some things to say about it. Funny thing was, Traylor had just been into it with Sumrall, John Sumrall, the Tulane coach who Ryan Silverfield will see tonight, about Tulane, about his claim that that UTSA pumps crowd noise into the Alamo Dome to try to change the atmosphere. He said they used that as motivation to beat Tulane. We know he's been into it with Ryan Silverfield, having pointed the finger at Memphis and said, well, they got all the money. What am I supposed to do? Then goes and beats Ryan.
Right.
And so there's been that back and forth. But what's one thing we did learn, and I think it got overlooked around here because it was actually in a story about North Texas that the Athletic's Sam Kahn had done. But they had talked to three American sources, and in talking about North Texas and the great season it's off to, saying it was a miracle. Because North Texas, compared to what South Florida, which its sources said has an $8 to $10 million roster, and then Memphis and Tulane, who the American sources said are just below South Florida, it comparatively speaking, North Texas has nothing. And that's why that's what this story was about. But it also, using these American sources, the sources according to The Athletic, it pegged us. Remember, you know, Ed Scott's been telling us, I think for a long time we've operated that Memphis is the highest level of investment when it comes to football in the American, but I think it was Vanini, and now you've had an Athletic report come out and say that it is South Florida. Back to that point, what does that mean? It means Ryan Silverfield beat the most expensive roster in the conference, you know, 2 weeks ago, and it just confirms what Brad and I have told you, like that performance. Beating that South Florida team that our eyeballs told us was the best team in the conference, and now, you know, the money tells you that as well. Beating that South, it tells you there is no excuse for not running this table and being in that conference championship game, and frankly, you've shown you're good enough to win it. Now, if Memphis loses to South Florida in a second meeting with them in the championship game, I'm not going to say it's some failure at all. Will I be disappointed? Yes, because of what the college football playoff that you won't be going to. You'll be watching Alex Golish do it. You beat him. Will I be? But making, remember, we don't move goalposts around here.
Sure.
And what we said before the season, because of Memphis's level of investment, which now seems to be right there with Tulane on a tier just below South Florida, you had to make a conference title game and make it.
Right.
Not win it, but make it. Remember, we 70 new players. Hard to ask Ryan to win it, even though he hasn't, and it's been elusive. Hard to ask him to win it in this season. Making it was the expectation and the goal. So if they lose to South Florida, man, that South Florida team has been good all year long. Yeah. There's going to be no shame. Remember, you were down 14 in that fourth quarter. That they're still kicking themselves, and it came down to a missed field goal at the end. That wouldn't have been as long, the 52 that it was, if not for a 10-yard holding penalty. And so could I come in here and be mad at Ryan Silverfield if they lost to South Florida? Well, maybe if it came down to whether or not he went for a two or you know, came down to something like that. But not mad in the season.
Yep.
No, because the key now, run the table, get to that game, which you'll host. If you do, that's a successful season. The CFP appearance and everything else is the to me, it's the cherry on top. Ryan Silverfield, the expectation is to make the conference championship game. And then, yes, hopefully you can show for a second time this season that you can be beat South Florida, beat Alex Golish on whatever day you line up. That was about heart in that fourth quarter. It certainly wasn't about, you know, roster, NIL, or anything else being down those 14. So, again, that was a little travel around the American tonight. We know Memphis playing Tulane on ESPN, 8 o'clock, big one. I'll be in the house as well as hopefully, you know, 30,000 plus of you, whatever that thing seats these days.
Jason will be the one with the face. It sounds like you're going to
I'm not going to paint my face. I'm lying.
You're not
going to
do that.
Part. That's
go
that
full
is hyperbole.
Warrior. No, but we'll have the black hoodie. It's a blackout. Everybody's supposed to wear black tonight, if you haven't heard.
It's going to be hard to find me because we're all in black. We're all together. And that's what it's going to take tonight.
One team.
Ed Scott says stand up. Ryan, we're here right now for you standing up. Do not let us down.
Oh, man, we are.
Do not let us down, because I will be mad on Monday if we're out of the
race.
He's
going to win the game tonight.
Now, that's why we put the goalposts where they are.
Yeah.
Don't make the conference championship game.
Yeah.
That will be, we will be angry.
Sure.
Because this team was good enough.
That's the bar.
And you shouldn't have lost to UAB.
Right.
So that this loss wouldn't have.
You know.
You'd have still been in a position with a loss tonight if you hadn't lost to UAB.
I still
so we'll
go
have
back
a right to be mad.
I agree with you. I will, and because you still have to make it work even with a backup quarterback. But having said that, I now have come to think about that game as even more of an aberration than the UTSA game and the Navy game
last year.
You're right to call it that. Because And I say that because of the quarterback being out. And you just laid out all the reasons why Brendan Lewis is so awesome. And that's part of it.
And your defense was a hot mess that game.
Mess.
Which is, it was an outlier compared to the rest of the season.
Right.
So that's what you
off.
Are right.
It was just off.
And that's what I've got it chalked up right now as, too.
Yeah.
An outlier game. Yeah. You know, as it, because they came back and showed
fired
the next
week. Coach. They got different schemes, came out of the woodwork on stuff. Like, that was just a bizarre setup.
And then, again, I would tell you, you know, the next week and the way you handled Rice was just a further confirmation,
yep.
right, that you are that team. You're back. You've got it back where it needs to be. And, yeah, you should handle Tulane tonight. Got another one. How about Big Glow?
Oh, I don't know if you saw that. All over.
Glorilla's going for Grammy Gold again. Bob Miller writes over at thecommercialappeal.com. She has been nominated again for the Grammys. She'll be up for three of them. She was nominated for Best Rap Album for her debut, Glorious. She was also nominated twice in Best Rap Song category, once for a song TGIF, and also for her work on Sticky, collaboration with Tyler, the Creator, Sexy Red, and Lil Wayne. Glorilla, released her studio debut, Glorious, in November of 2024. And that album, which hit number two on the Billboard charts, went gold, helped further cement her status. Previously been nominated three times for Grammys. In 2002, she and her producer were nominated for the breakthrough anthem FNF, Let's Go. Y'all remember that one? Brad plays it all the time at the house in Germantown. Best rap performance category. She did not win all three instances. She came away a loser. Frankly, you're not one when Kendrick Lamar is the one winning, and that's who was hot at that time. There was no way she was going to win. She'll get a chance. This was announced today. She'll get a chance to be back. The Grammys are on February 1st. And shout out to Glorilla, man. She is Memphis. This is not somebody who, you know, was born somewhere else and has made Memphis her home. She is Memphis born, Memphis raised, and when she dies, she'll be, you know, Memphis dead.
Yep.
And so, yeah, man, I'll always root for Glorilla. You know, she's cool.
Who's she dating in Canada? She's dating
Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
That's the latest on her. She's always at the games. They kiss beforehand, make a big deal of it. The Raptors folks come and put the camera on her. And again, I think we approve of this one more so than we do the Meg and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
We approve of this pairing. I think we're cool with B.I. I think John a little bit, because does B.I. is future. You just don't know. Is Brandon Ingram ever going to win a championship? Could Glow do even better? Some of us have wondered. But more importantly, hopefully she's going to be a winner when it comes to these Grammys. She's just 26 years old, been nominated now six times for Grammys. She's got a long career, hopefully, ahead of her, and hopefully it all goes well. That's our rundown wrap-up for today. Next hour, we're going to talk to Partha Pajai. Penny Hardaway and the Tigers basketball team, they start their season tomorrow. Been talking a lot about Grizzlies, a lot about Tigers football. We'll talk about Tigers basketball and its season opener. 125 next hour with Parth Upadhyay. We'll do that and a lot more after your boy gets a break. It's the J&J Show, 92.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Leaders Credit Union is here for you. They're not a bank, they're a credit union. It's a difference there. That means they're fully owned by members. It means they operate for your benefit, not that of their stockholders. Got to answer to them. Calkins rightly puts, he's right. When Leaders wins, you win, because the money they make goes back into the credit union, meaning better rates for you on car loans, mortgages, whatever it is. They can handle all of it, and they can be there every step of the way on your financial journey. Right now, fraud is big. It's financial fraud. Those crooksters can get closer to you than maybe you think. Make sure you are completely protected. Visit leadercu.com/ESPN to see all they can do for you in terms of putting that armor on and keeping those fraudsters away from your accounts. And as well, they can help you with a Compass Black credit card and enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase, 0% introductory APR for 15 months, no annual fees or limits. To learn more, again, visit leadercu.com/ESPN. See all that Leaders can do for you. They got little CJ hooked up with a future Leaders savings account, so we're in. You get in. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by NCUA. It's an NFL football game on last night, but it wasn't much of one. Broncos get the win 10-7 over John's pathetic Las Vegas Raiders. They are a joke. The fact that he ever said that Geno Smith was exciting or getting him is just kind of shows you the state of the Raiders, right? That you thought that would be something that would be exciting. It really speaks not to John and his fandom. I'm not getting on him. I'm getting on the mess that they are. And Geno, in many ways, has reverted back to the old Geno, not the Seahawks Geno that it. You know, they wrote him off, but he didn't write back. And he's back to that dude that they wrote off again. He was 16 of 26 last night, 143 yards, threw another pick. He's been one of the league leaders in picks, was sacked six times. But the story isn't how bad the Raiders are. That continues to be the case, and they should trade Max Crosby. They should go into Jets mode, quite frankly, and start selling. That's what the Raiders should do. The story is about how, you know, the question is whether the Broncos are for real at 8-2, now 5-0 at home. All of their games seemingly have come down to field goals. The two they lost are as well, and could have been lost. And this one could have been as well if the Raiders could have mustered any sort of real offensive attack. You've got Bowers out there. You got Genty. They still couldn't do anything against this Denver defense that's, yes, good, but its offense was doing nothing. And that's because, and here's the point, this was my big takeaway, cannot trust Bo Nix. While he was good in his rookie season with Sean Payton, and eventually after some ups and downs, you know, Sean found a way to win. He is still doing some things that you question, boy, what in the world? And especially at this point in the game, he had a couple of interceptions last night that just made you shake your head. He finished 16 of 28 for 150 yards, mentioned the two picks, did have one touchdown to his guy, Troy Franklin. But I don't know, they've been sort of living and living good in these one-possession games, but I think that quickly could go the other way. What is real about Denver is its defense. Got the six sacks. I think Surtain's still out. Best corner in the league.
Yep.
So it shows you, you know, they can still shut you down on that side of the ball. They're the best in the league. There was a feature story about it last night on Prime about their defense and comparing. They're comparing themselves already to some of the best we've seen. Now, that's one thing, saying it in-house. We thought this Denver defense, with what it did last season, the pieces that it added, we thought this Denver defense could be historically good, and some had written that, and they've been that. But offensively, that's what's going to keep them, I think, from being able to classify them or put them up on a tier with the Buffaloes, the KCs, I don't know. We'll see on Chargers to be determined. I just think this this Broncos team is getting by with some shaky QB play that I think could come back and bite them before it's all said and done. That said, Denver, I mean, you're not going to take anything away from, you know, NFL team getting a win. They don't apologize for them no matter how they come. They move to 8-2, 5-0 at home. They're in the thick of things in the AFC West. Other than that, I mean, this week in the NFL, I don't know, Brad. Is there anything? I know we've talked a lot about college and a lot about the Memphis game this weekend. Some big SEC games. Yep. We've talked a ton of NBA. Is there an NFL game? Because this week I had not been focused, and that's why last night I was only somewhat glued in to last night's games. But in terms of matchups, we're coming off the big one, KC and the Bills last week. I don't think anything lives up to that billing. But there are a couple.
I think the Monday night game coming up against Eagles and Packers seems to be the most intriguing to me.
That's the one that's most like last week.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because that one should have been high on my list. You're absolutely right.
No, I think you're on it, though. Like, a lot of these games shouldn't be close if you look at the Bears-Giants game.
No, because I was just coming in here. Lions-Commanders is down because we know Jaden Daniels is hurt. I mean, some of these games I've looked at is – maybe earlier this season, those look like big ones, aren't as much.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Browns, Jets. That's as bad as it gets. Bills playing Dolphins this week. Bears should beat the Giants.
Should.
Falcons and Colts. If Colts are real, they'll rebound from that loss to Pittsburgh and not turn the ball over like they did last week uncharacteristically and get the win. No, you're right. I had looked through it and seen a bunch of bad ones, but didn't get all the way to Monday night. I've been hearing about it all morning on ESPN, this Eagles-Packers game. A lot of people think that, you know, this Packers team, for what we thought they could be going into the season after Micah Parsons trade, hasn't necessarily shown it. They've been up and down. And Eagles, they've struggled at times offensively. But you do have two of the, you know, with apologies to Detroit because they're in there too, this is two of the three right here that you think are the contenders in the NFC. But keep in mind, Green Bay's lost to the Browns earlier this year, and they're coming off a 16-loss. The Panthers have left you scratching your head.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure what to make of this team that's come up short. Eagles, you know, last couple of years, they've had distractions and things go on. Sirianni yelling at fans. That galvanized them last year all the way. You know, the Saquon Barkley year, they go all the way to the Super Bowl. I've seen them do it. This Packers team with LaFleur, we have not seen them as a front runner, as one of the expected contenders, go through and do it. Jordan Love, too, his question about, you know, we're talking about Bo Nix and making bad decisions. Jordan Love's still doing that. At this point in his career, and that's always been a question mark on him. So there would be less buy-in for me right now, when there probably was ultimate buy-in to start the year, on the Packers than there is in the Eagles, who I've seen do it, who I've seen come together. Mm-hmm. I've seen have issues with A.J. Brown in the regular season and then get it all worked out on their way to a run. So I am expecting the Eagles in that one to show well on the road.
Yeah, the one team that I've always been intrigued with this year is the Buffalo Bills, because if you're looking for a dominant team, they just took care of business last weekend against KC. They're supposed to be a heavy favorite against the Bucs this weekend. You know, I've got selfishly in fantasy football.
That's a decent one.
Yeah.
That game.
I actually think the Bills look like a pretty dominant team right now again.
Back
on it.
They do. I think KC played into their hands some, not running the ball more. That's what you can do against the Bills. And I was listening to, I think Colin Cowherd had somebody on the other day that was talking about the hybrid coverages that they used on Patrick Mahomes, some zone, some man on the same play.
Yep.
The defense was, and you had Patrick Mahomes, one of his worst games. And frankly, with them not running the ball, Buffalo was able to pin their ears back, go after him, and put some pressure on him in a way that they've been built to do. What they're not built to do right now is stop the run. And KC, I think, sort of played into their hands that way. That ended up being a game that, you know, KC got back in and should have been looked much better than it did. Keep in mind, that KC offense had been rolling, and you played right into the Bills' hands. So I thought that was some poor coaching on the part. You don't see it much from the Chiefs, but I thought in many ways you played into McDermott and in that Bills defense's hands.
Here's one for you. Sunday night football, Steelers at Chargers. Can the Steelers – I know this will be the Chargers game to lose, but do you think the Steelers are the real deal this year? They're 5-3.
Jury's out on them to me. That was an impressive thing they did last week in beating the Colts, but it's as thin as an Aaron Rodgers injury for the Steelers, and we still need to see more from that highly paid defense that those fans know they should be getting more from. Saw it, you know, for the most part against Daniel Jones. Need to continue to see it. Those guys, That should be one of the best defenses in the league.
Yep.
Maybe it'll come around, but I still think the Ravens are going to catch them.
Okay.
I do. This is a game where, frankly, I would, with the Chargers at home, mm-hmm. I'd go Chargers here, Steelers allow the Ravens to get ever closer.
I agree with that.
Because remember, the Ravens are still the division favorite.
Yep.
And this Steelers team, that defense is going to be off and on. I don't believe in them. So you're right. There's maybe two or three interesting games here. Rams 49ers is interesting because I've continued to underestimate the Niners, and you can't. You cannot do it, and they've shown us.
Yep.
I did it earlier this season that they can beat the Rams. Did it earlier this year, all banged up. This one's at home. They did that at the Rams at their place. So that one's good.
Yeah.
NFC West has been good. Seattle's good. Rams good. 49ers good. So you got three or four pretty decent matchups, certainly highlighted by the Monday night matchup Brad mentioned, Eagles at Packers. Denver, I don't think you can trust Bo Nix, but you certainly have a defense that is Super Bowl caliber. Maybe Sean Payton can control him enough. But they were saying it during the broadcast last night. Sean Payton will expect him to make the easy check down, want that on the, and Bo Nix makes a throw downfield.
Yeah.
You know, that typically Sean Payton's going to go nuts on you like that. He doesn't have another option right now, so he's got to get Bo Nix under control if they're going to make any sort of deep run in the AFC playoffs. Raiders, if they could have mustered anything, could have knocked the Broncos off last night. We've got much more to do, including talking about Penny Hardaway, his season opener. We're going to do that with Parth Upadhyay in the next hour, the Daily Memphian Tigers basketball beat writer. We'll do all that and more, get in some college basketball, what we've seen so far, jump back in the NBA. Got plenty more third hour. You listen to J&J, 929 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.